Morning, everyone. Today's daf is daf lamed hay in Menachos. Now, no, that's not correct. Today's daf lamed vav. We're back on lamed hay. We need to start coming back to enjoying the rest of the world and the daf yomi. So today we're going to make a concerted effort to start getting back to where we need to be. It's good to be in concert with the rest of the world. We're at the very bottom of the Lamed Aleph Beis. Then we started yesterday. We just covered the Machlokes between Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam. Certainly, one of the most classic debates that take place and has very practical ramifications in terms of how we wear the tefillin. We went through the Tosfos yesterday, which went over the proofs of Rashi, the proofs of Rabbeinu Tam. I told over yesterday a story about the Beis Yosef, who found the tefillin of Yechezkel Hanavi, and they were like Rashi, and how do we go with that? Amar Rav Chanan Amar Rav Acholet Parshiyosa Psulo. So the Gemara quotes Rav Chanan on the name of Rav. It says that you can't switch it around. You can't switch around Parshiyos, which makes the Rashi Rabbeinu Tam debate even that much more relevant, because once you have a certain seder, once you have a certain order, so then there can't be any switching around. And the Gemara says very clearly that once you switch it around, it's going to be possible. So it gets even more significant, which is why there are two. That's why, for those people who are careful to wear the Rabbeinu Tam tefillin, meaning the Rashi and the Rabbeinu Tam really are mutually exclusive of one another. Okay. By the way, Shulchan Aruch says you should try to wear both. Shulchan Aruch says that somebody who is careful, meticulous about the halachas of tefillin should wear both pairs of tefillin. Right? Minhag Ashkenaz is to wear one. I told you, certain chassidim wear two pairs of tefillin, but the Shulchan Aruch himself says you should try to wear both. So Amar Chanan Amar Rav Hichle Parshiyosa Psulos Amar Rabbi Lo Amaran Ela Gviasa Lebriasa Ubriasa Legviasa. Okay, now remember there are four Parshiyos, there are four Batim, there are four Parshiyos. So the Gemara makes a statement that any of the flipping around is no good. That's only if you have one of the exteriors get mixed up with one of the interiors. Meaning, right, in the four Parshiyos, if you will, let's just to use an analogy. Right on the plane, you have two aisle seats and two. We're not on the side of the plane; we're in the middle of the plane. Like a big 747. So you have the two aisle seats and you have the two middle seats. Okay, just to use an analogy. So which is if you flip around an aisle in the middle, that's no good. But if the two middle seats flip around, or if the two aisle seats flip around, so that the Gemara says aval gviyasu gviyasu briyasu briyasu lefan ba. Then that's not a big deal. Because, look, if you got an aisle seat, what difference does it make if you're on the right side of the plane or on the left side of the plane? You have an aisle seat. And if you're in the middle, what difference does it make if you are next to the left aisle or next to the right aisle? You're in the middle. So the Gemara adopts the first position, where the only time that this is really significant is if an aisle seat changes with a middle seat. So the Gemara says, "I'm a lay Rava, my shnag viyasa le briyasa, or briyasa le viyasa delo dahach de by lemechse avir lo kachazia vahadlo kabay lemechse avir kachazia." So the Gemara says, "Look, what's the argument? Meaning, what's the rationale behind it? The rationale behind switching parshios is it's not in the right place. Meaning that if you were an exterior parsha and now you're in an interior, so you're not in the right place because you needed to see air." This is obviously not to be taken that literally, but in other words, it needs to be next to the it's on the side of the tefillin where it doesn't have a neighbor to its right, and the interior, and it has a neighbor both to its right and to its left. But the Gemara says, but the same argument can be made even if the two exteriors switch. Briyasa le briyasa ugviyasa gviyasa nami. Hachta by lemechse avir diyamin kachazi avir desmol. Udesmol kachazi avir diyamin. So the Gemara says, even if you switch around the two middles or the two outer ones, that's also going to be a problem. Look, again, just using an analogy, right? You have a right aisle seat, right? For most of us, a right aisle seat is better because we eat with our right hand and you're not cramped inside and you can move it around. Now you're told to go to the left aisle seat. It's not the same. This is just by way of analogy, but you understand? It's not the same. So the Gemara says the same thing with the parshas of the tefillin. If you're a parsha in the tefillin that needs to be on the right side, so the right side is, that's your place. If you get moved to the left side, what do you want to tell me? You're still on the exterior? Yeah, but you're on the exterior on the left side. You're not in the right place. So the Gemara concludes, and the Gemara says that any switching around of any of the parshiyos is no good. So you got to follow the order. What is the order? So that goes back to the end of yesterday's daf. So according to Rashi, you follow the order of the Torah. It's Kaddish v'haya. Then it's Shema v'haya. That's according to Rashi. And according to Rabbi Yonatan, the last two get switched around. Good.
And the reason?
Is there a reason? I'm sure there's a reason.
No, what's the reason for Rabbi?
What's the reason for Rabbi Yonatan? I mean, we discussed some of the reason yesterday. Most of what we discussed is based on the reading of the Gemara. The deeper reasons behind Rabbi Yonatan, I'm sure.
Why it's not in our Shema that we say every day we have the Bere Ben Israel also? Why is that included in those? Or why do we say it? You know, the Shema, the last part about the seat and so on.
Yeah, but that's not going to be in the Tefillin because that Parsha doesn't talk about Tefillin.
What about Mezuzah? Why is that in the Mezuzah?
Because it also doesn't talk about Mezuzah. The only parshas that go in are parshas that discuss the mitzvah. So in mezuzah, there are only two parshas that discuss mezuzah, Shman V'ayah. In tefillin, there are four parshas that discuss tefillin. Okay. So Eloloshnas, so the Gemara concludes that any switching around the parshas would be an ikuv, would make the tefillin puzzle. Amrav Chanan al Amrav. Titur de tefillin halacha Moshe Mitzinai. Okay, get ready for this expression of halacha Moshe Mitzinai. We all know what it means. The tradition from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Moshe at Sinai. No source for it in the Torah. No drasha to get us to that place. It's just simply halacha Moshe Mitzinai. It's just a way of us knowing a halacha based simply on tradition. Halacha Moshe Mitzinai. So titur de tefillin halacha Moshe Mitzinai. Now Rashi over here, we're not going to read the Rashi's inside. Rashi over here goes and gives, it tries to give a lengthy description of what the titur are. The way Rashi describes tefillin, it doesn't look anything like the tefillin that we wear. That's an exaggeration. It doesn't look like anything, but it doesn't have a base. Meaning our tefillin, in other words, we have a box on the top, and the tefillin shel Rosh, we have four boxes, right, which are placed side by side and stitched side by side, and then we put them into a base, right? So we have a wide base that the four boxes go into. That's what we have, right? Rashi, well, the way Rashi describes it, it's not really. According to Rashi, it's really just a square, meaning it's the four boxes, and then there's a flap, and the flap goes right under those four boxes, and again, a lot of discussion, just covering the very basics. Some people say within Rashi that there's not even any type of protrusion, meaning it just simply closes the bottom of the four boxes.
And what about this strap? How do you strap it to your head?
There's going to be a little, that's an excellent question. There's going to be, according to Rashi, that's the next part of the Gemara. When I close the strap over, I'm not going to close it like this. I'm going to lay it out a little bit and then close it back over. Obviously, it's going to be long enough. So there will be a little thin piece in the back. What the Gemara is about to call Mavarta, that's where the strap goes, according to Rashi. Again, for our tefillin don't look like what Rashi is describing, because what we do is that we construct an entire base and we put the tefillin into the base, right? That's what we call a titur and that's what we call a mavarta. Okay, so just titur de tefillin halacha Moshe Mitzinai, Amar Abaye, mavarta de tefillin halacha Moshe Mitzinai, the mavarta is halacha Moshe Mitzinai. So again, according to Rashi, the mavarta is that little piece of the flap that you leave in the back in order for the strap to go through. Okay, we have again a more detailed base for our tefillin. Okay, the Gemara continues. Amar Abaye, shin shel tefillin halacha Moshe Mitzinai. The shin is halacha Moshe Mitzinai. Now, of course, everyone knows on the shel rosh we have carved out a shin. Right, the shin shel tefillin. Right, Rashi. Right, Rashi says shin shel tefillin la beis achitzona osin kemin kematim dakim. They're like little folds, says Rashi, beklaf v'nirin bo ke'ein shin. It looks like a shin. We have a tradition that we have a three-legged shin and a four-legged shin on the two sides of the tefillin. Okay, the Gemara never details outlines the three-legged shin and the four-legged shin, but that's part of the tradition that we have. If you want to see where sources for this minna could be, so look in Tosfos. Tosfos shin shel tefillin halacha l'Moshe Mitzinai kasa b'shimusha rabba. Again, he quotes the Shimusha rabba. Shimusha rabba, I don't know the author of Shimusha rabba, but Tosfos quotes it very often, especially in the halachas of tefillin. The tefillin are shin diyamina gimel reishay u desmala dalid reishay. So one shin has to be three-legged and the other shin has to be four-legged. Now you say to me, four-legged shin? There's no such thing as a four-legged shin. Four-legged shin doesn't exist. So let me just finish reading in the Tosfos. V'yapich lefan ba. Now the minag is to have the three-legged on the right and the four-legged on the left. Okay? And the Shimusha Rabbah says that if they're inverted, for whatever reason, lefan ba, so that would be okay. Okay, fine. Okay, and then he goes over other minhagim as well. Anyway, that's just a source if you want to see where the minhag is for three versus four. In terms of an understanding of what the four-legged shin is, it could simply be that, well, here on this sefer you have a three-legged shin, but the four-legged shin, you're not looking at the actual lines that are carved out, you're looking in between the lines, meaning in between the lines, it creates a three-letter shin. The significance of that, again, is something that is certainly beyond my scope. V'tzarech shi'agia chritz, back to the Gemara, v'tzarech shi'agia chritz l'makom atfar. Okay. As we discussed now a number of times, that the shel rosh is constructed of four separate boxes. The groove's got to go down. How far does it have to go down? To the width of the place where it gets stitched. Rav Dimi min adar, makagon deminkar, I'm sorry, kevin deminkar lo tzarech. So Rav Dimi says, no, not that far down. Meaning, as long as you see the chritz, as long as you see the groove, does the groove need to go all the way down to the bottom of the base? That's not necessary. Amar Abaye, more halachas. Hai kilfa de tefillin tzarech lemivdike. The klaf, right? The parchment of tefillin, you need to do a bedikah, you need to examine it. The dumma is beireus, because maybe there's something wrong with the klaf. Now, as Rashi over here points out, there may be a hole in the klaf, and you can't have a hole in the klaf. Uvi'ina ksivatama. Because we know the halacha is you need a ksivatam, you need a complete writing. Valaika, and the problem is you may not have it. No, you don't need to check the klaf. Kumasa badik la. Because once the sofer writes down on the klaf, if in fact there's a hole in the klaf, the kumos, the quill will feel it, meaning it'll get caught on the klaf, so there's no need for a bidika on the klaf once the letters were written. Okay. Amar Rav Yitzchak, Ritzuo Shcharos Halach LaMoshe MiSinai. Okay, we've mentioned already a number of the halachas of tefillin, which are Halach LaMoshe MiSinai. Let's add another one to the list. If I'm not mistaken, the Rambam quotes 10 Halach LaMoshe MiSinai in total. Okay, the straps have to be black. Right, we have a minhag that the boxes themselves we paint black. But that's not the Halach LaMoshe MiSinai. Right, we just have them, the boxes themselves match the straps. It's the straps being black, that's Halacha LaMoshe MiSinai. Now, as of course we all know, both sides of the strap, not necessary. One side of the strap is only needs to be black. How do we know that? Upcoming Gemara. So, Ritzu Shchor is Halacha LaMoshe MiSinai. Meitzvah, the Gemara says, I'm going to challenge you. Tefillin, in kosher nasan ela b'minan. So, first of all, you want to wrap your tefillin up. In other words, we're talking about how to attach the boxes to your body. So, you got to use hide. You got to use leather, right? Straps. Straps are made up of leather. They don't have to be made up of leather. They could be made up of another material. But the Braisa says you have to strap it up b'minan using the material that you made the box out of. The boxes are made out of hide. Straps have to be made up of hide as well. Bein yerokos, bein shcharos, bein levanos. You can make your straps out of the color. Yarok here can mean green or yellow. Right? We can always go either way. Black or white. Straps could be, says the Braisa, any color. Okay, I do most so except for red. Don't make the straps red. Mipnei ganai v'davar acher. So the Gemara says two reasons. Number one, it's a ganai, and the other reason is davar acher. Whenever the Gemara talks about an immodest issue, so the Gemara just simply alludes to it out of regard for tznias. So what are both of these concerns? So number one, it's a ganai. Rashi says, well, maybe he's got a skin condition and he scratches his head and causes himself to bleed. And if the straps are made out of red and people see the red straps, they're going to think to himself, you know, the guy's got some sort of really bad skin condition. Okay, so one reason why straps of tefillin shouldn't be red. Another reason, the Gemara says, is davar acher. Another explanation is because Rashi says the concern would be that if people see red straps, he'll think that people will say that he's having bia with his wife while she's an Ida. Okay, so the straps of tefillin should not be red. Amar Yehuda Maisa B'tam. Now, the aside from the red not being the preferred color of the straps, it's clear from the Braisa that all colors are fine. All colors for the tefillin are fine. All colors for the straps of the tefillin are fine. And we said that the straps of the tefillin have to be black, and that's Halacha Moshe Mitzrayim. That's the question. In just a moment, we're going to come to resolve the question. But before we do so, finishing up the Braisa, Ma'isa b'tamidosh Rabbi Akiva shayakosh tefillin b'shana shal tcheles. Student of Rabbi Akiva, how did he strap his tefillin to his head? He used l'shana shal tcheles. Wool, blue wool. So instead of having straps of hide to tie it, he had blue wool. I'm sure it looked great. But the Gemara is now going to say, that's crazy. That he, right? V'lo amar lo davar. And Rabbi Akiva didn't say anything to him. So in other words, he tied his tefillin to his head using wool, blue wool, and Rabbi Akiva said nothing to him. So Rabbi Akiva saw that, and he didn't reprimand? So amar lo hein lo ra'o so, v'yemra oso lo haya menicha me'asos. I'm sorry. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Akiva didn't see. Okay, I guess this particular student in question did not have the best relationship with Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva didn't see his student wearing tefillin strapped with wool. Okay. Second story. Ma'aseh b'Horkanos ben Elsha Rabbi Elazar ben Horkanos. Horkanos, son of Rabbi Elazar ben Horkanos, named after his grandfather. Shayakosha tefillin b'shana shel argaman. He used purple wool in order to wrap his tefillin up onto his head and onto his arm. V'lo amar lo davar. And his father didn't say anything to him. Afshar also tzadik rab b'nov l'micha bo. So again, the Gemara says, hard to imagine, he didn't use straps of hide in order to tie his tefillin up. He used purple wool, and the father didn't say anything to him. Amar lo hein lo ra'o so v'imra oso lo haya minicha. Period. That is the end of the Braisa. And the Braisa says, dad didn't see him. Again, how good was that relationship? But dad never saw him with the tefillin strapped with purple wool. Anyway, point from all this Braisa is that the Braisa says you can color your tefillin, your straps of tefillin white and yellow and maybe green and not red, but the Braisa says other colors are fine. Kitani mia ben yirakos ben shchoros ben levanos. So that's a problem. So the Gemara says lo kasha, kami biftim kami bechutz. So here we know, we're all familiar with the Gemara's answer. We wear tefillin, so intuitively we all know the answer, but the Gemara here says the answer. Kan mi bifnim, kan mi b'chutz. We're talking about external versus internal. Now, mi bifnim, mi b'chutz, the external versus the internal, so Rashi says, mi bifnim afilu levanos. Yeah, I'm sorry.
What's inside mean? Inside the point.
Right. That's where I was going to go. Okay. Okay. Right. It's got to be a different Rashi. Okay. Mibifnin afilu levanos v'du amar av Yitzchak shoros mibichutz. Okay. Rashi over here is not clear. Okay, Michael, that's the right question. The interior versus the exterior. The exterior has got to be black. That's Halach L'Moshe Mitzrayim. And what about the interior? So the interior can be any color except for red, for the two reasons that the Gemara gave earlier. Okay, what is interior versus what is exterior? We generally assume that interior means that when you wear tefillin, so there's going to be the parts of the straps, the side of the straps that everybody sees, right? That's on the outside, meaning that there's no intrinsic interior versus exterior. It's just the side that you decide to be shown to the world at large. That's the bechutz, that's the exterior. Versus what the interior is just simply the side that's facing your body. So that's interior versus exterior. The exterior has to be black, and the interior could be any color except for red. That is the generally accepted pshat. There is a Rashi, although I don't see the Rashi here. Okay. No, it's not the Rashi here.
I wonder what the purpose of the...
Okay. There's a Rashi somewhere that suggests that interior, exterior, talking about the actual, meaning when you take it off the cow, when you take it off the hide of the animal, exterior versus interior of the actual hide itself. Okay. I don't see the Rashi over here, so we're just going to move right along. So the Gemara says, if people don't see it, so what are you worried about? Meaning the Gemara says, well, don't color it red because people are going to see red and they're going to think, right? Well, if it's interior, so the Gemara says, what are you worried about? So the Gemara says, very simple. Look, we try our hardest to keep the interior, but you know, sometimes it's filling, especially the parts that hang off your body. Sometimes they flip over and people see the underside of the tefillin in. Okay, Tana, moving along. Tefillin meruvos, halacha l'Moshe Mesinai. The tefillin have to be square. And, as the Gemara is about to say, a perfect square, meaning rectangular is no good, and the angle of the square has to be 90 degrees. It's got to be a perfect square. Okay, and that's halacha l'Moshe Mesinai. Amar Rav Papa b'Tifron of Halach Sonan. When you stitch it and the diagonal, Rashi tells us, we all know, that the relationship between the side of a square and the diagonal of a square, well, we know it as, right, taught to me in school as x and x and x times the square root of 2. Okay, but, right, the Gemara doesn't speak in square roots. The Gemara speaks in 1 to 1 to 1 and 2 fifths. Okay, which is pretty close on mark. Anyway, so there has to be a perfect square. So when you square off your tefillin, the tefillin have to be a perfect square, and they are. Right? The precision is pretty good. So the Gemara says, let's look at the Mishnah Megillah. The Mishnah Megillah would seem to be excellent evidence that this is in fact true. That this is halach l'Moshe Mesinai. Now, it's funny, the Gemara doesn't need to give the Mishnah Megillah in order to prove halach l'Moshe Mesinai, meaning once it's established as halach l'Moshe Mesinai, so that's it. Right, the Mishnah Megillah is not the source of halach l'Moshe Mesinai, but once we know the halach l'Moshe Mesinai, we look at the Mishnah Megillah and the Gemara is basically saying, oh, good, it works out perfectly. So the Mishnah Megillah says that if you make your trill around, right? So first of all, it's dangerous, and Rashi points out what's the danger. So you know what happens when you daven in Shmoneh Esrei and you're davening right by the Kosel, and right, the Sofrim have this all the time, and right, Modim, you have such unbelievable Kavana, and you put your head, you bend your head down, and you go right into the wall. And so if the tefillin are nice and flat, so, you know, it's not, the tefillin got hurt, you didn't get hurt. If the tefillin are round, so now there's a danger for both to happen, for you and the tefillin to get hurt. So the Mishnah says it's a sakana, and on top of that, the Mishnah says ain't bar mitzvah, and you didn't fulfill the mitzvah because it's circular and it's not round. So the Gemara says it looks like it's the same thing, meaning the halacha l'Moshe Mesinai that says that it's square and the Mishnah in Megillah are basically saying the same thing. Amar Rav Papa, no, they're not saying the same thing. Masnis and Davida kiam guza. No, the Mishnah is talking about where the shape of the tefillin is not a perfect circle, but it's kind of like a egg shape, it's oval. And the problem is that it doesn't have a base on your head, and when you bang your head into something, it can actually make an indentation in your head, and you could seriously hurt yourself. What we're discussing over here is, Rashi describes, maybe it's like a coin. Meaning, so it has a nice flat base, and you put it right, the flat base right on your head, but it's not squared off. That's the halach l'Moshe Mesinai, that even with a base, it has to have a square shape to it. Amar Rav Huna tefillin calls man shalo tavla kayamik sheros.
Is this the top part getting ripped?
Right. The hide of the bottom of the actual boxes. So calls man shalo. I'm sorry. Calls man shepenei tavla kayemis sheros. As long as the exterior, the penei means the exterior. As long as it's intact, it's kosher. Okay, now Rav Chista Amar Nifsiku Shtaim Ksheres Shalosh Psulos. Okay, the Gemara now will turn for a couple minutes and talk about a breach in the interior walls of the tefillin. Now, before x-rays come about, how are we going to be able to look into the interior walls? Okay, so obviously the only way we're going to know about these interior breaches is only if the tefillin are open up and you get to see them from the inside. From the outside, obviously, you do not get to see them. So here's the halacha. If there is a psak b'shtayim, it's okay. So, again, in the tefillin there are four batim, so that means that there are three interior walls, right? And if two of them are breached, it's okay. if three of them are breached, it's pasul. Okay. Now three, of course, would be all three compartments. Amar Rav Hada Mach Time Ksheris Omar and Elazesh Lo Keneged Zeh. Aval Zeh Keneged Zeh Psulos. Okay. Abaye says, depends. Sorry. Rava says, it depends. Now Rashi over here is going to offer two explanations of what this means. Now we have here. Okay, here's a Tzon Shal Rosh. So the Gemara says that if two of the interior walls are breached, so it would seem to mean if I had that and that, that would be fine. A breach here and a breach here, that would be fine. The Gemara says Rava qualifies. If it's zu keneged zu, so Rashi's first pshat goes like this, that I can have a breach over here and I can have a breach over here. And those two are not next to one another. Meaning if the two interior walls that are breached are not contiguous walls, that's okay. But if I have a breach here and here, or here and here, that's no good. Because those are two contiguous walls that are breached. That's Rashi's first pshat. Rashi then offers a second pshat. Zu keneged zu is talking about an actual line that's running through. Meaning that according to Rashi's second pshat, if let's say this is breached and this is breached, that would be okay. However, if this is breached and this is breached, that would not be okay. Those are Rashi's two explanations of the Gemara.
Is there a known halacha about what do you go by?
The Shulchan Aruch follows like Rashi's first explanation. That in order for it to be okay, it's got to be zu shlo keneged zu. Those two have to be breached, and only then would it be okay. And then the Gemara says, and the Gemara says, and this is only an issue if the tefillin are new. Right? Interestingly enough, if the tefillin are new, only then this becomes a consideration. But if they're old pair of tefillin, then you don't have to worry about interior breaches of the wall. Right? What's the difference between new versus old? So Rashi over here explains like this. The Becharata of Nifsiku Vandai or Mikul Kalhu. Look, you got the hides brand new. Right? What are you expecting? Good quality. Meaning if they're brand new hides and you just fresh off the animal and all of a sudden now you start looking at the interior boxes and you see breaches, you see that from the very beginning this was bad ore. It was bad hide. Over the course of usage, however, over the course of time, of course we expect deterioration of the tefillin. And if there are breaches later on when they get old, right, we're going to have to qualify what's new and what's old, but once they get old, that's part of the natural deterioration of tefillin. But if you buy them new and you find holes in them, the Gemara says, right, the way Rashi explains it, it's mekulka, meaning, you know, from the very get-go, they're bad tefillin. They're bad, it's bad ore, it's bad hide. Now the Gemara over here says, "Aval be'atika le'tzamba amalei abayler Rav Yosef heichadami chadasa veheichadami tikasa." Yeah. So what's new and what's old? Right. It's a classic question in anyone's house. Right. Our car so old. What does that mean? It's old. It goes. So by tefillin, it's right. It's so when by tefillin, what does that mean? New. What does that mean? Old. So amalei kol heicha kimasle b'shalcha the hadar chalim. Atikasa, the Ida Chadasa. So the Gemara starts off with one definition, which is elastic. It's elastability.
Elasticity.
Thank you. I knew I didn't say it right. Elasticity. So the Gemara says that if you stretch it and it bounces back, that's old. But if it doesn't have any bounce to it, if it doesn't stretch back,
which part?
I'm not really sure.
It seems like
straps. The opposite. I know, but we're talking about the bottom. We're talking about the actual.
I mean, how do you check that?
I'm not 100% sure. It's a fair question. I'm not sure. V'inami, the Gemara gives another definition of what's old versus what's new. The way Rashi explains it, when a person holds the straps, here Rashi says we're talking about the straps. And you pull on the straps and it doesn't snap, so the Gemara says that's considered new. But if you pull on the strap and it snaps, that's considered old. Okay? So the Gemara gives us two definitions of how to measure old versus how to measure new, and why do we care? So that, because we go back to the halacha that we just mentioned previously. Because once they, according to Rashi, if they're new tefillin and there are interior breaches of the wall, that becomes an issue. If they're old tefillin and there are interior breaches of the wall, that's not an issue because we expect the hides to a certain amount of deterioration of the hides. That is, the Gemara is laid out according to Rashi. Abai Aviyasa Kama de Rav Yosef, Ifsek Levit Sua de Tefillay, Amalei Mala Mikterei. Okay, from this point forward now, we will spend some time in the Gemara, not a lot, but some time in the Gemara talking about the Ritzuas HaTfilin, the straps of the Tfilin. So number one, we already learned that the straps have to be black, only on the exterior, not on the interior. Now the Gemara goes on to discuss other aspects of the straps. Abaye, sitting in front of Rav Yosef, says, look, my straps broke. Can I tie it up? Let me just tie up the straps and use it like that. The Tfilin, Amalei Mala Mikterei, Amalei Ukshartim Ksiv, should take Shira Tama. So Rav Yosef's answer to Abai is no, that's no good. Because it has to be kshira tam, and it has to be a complete kshira. So that means the straps have to be intact. So if you kind of patch straps together, that's not acceptable. So he says, okay, so I understand. So tying the straps together, that's not good. But how about if I stitch the straps together, and I'll stitch in a way where you can't even see the stitches. The stitches will be on the inside. Now, I know we're talking about straps over here, how to have the strap, the stitching on the inside. I guess if you stitch, you'll understand this a little bit better, right? I'm not in the stitching profession. I'm not really sure how to stitch it, and the stitches look on the like they're on the inside. Okay, but if you're a seamstress, I'm sure you understand this. So the Gemara says, Amar poke chazi my ama debar. So he says, stitching straps together, what are you asking me for? Go out. See what people do. See how they do it. If people are stitching their straps together, so then it's fine. And if people aren't, so then it's not fine. Now, it's funny. This is one of those places in the Gemara where, okay, so let's go around. Let's go take a look. Right? The Gemara is basically saying, take a poll. Now, Rashi over here writes, the poke my amadabar, the kevin de in nohagen kein lo sasa. So Rashi says, well, people don't do it. And since people don't do it, therefore you can't do it. That's Rashi. What does his grandson say?
Opposite.
Poke chazi my amadabar. Top toast was on the page. So page bekunshus lahachmir. V'Rabbeinu Tam mefarsh lahakel ki ad beberkam de'erevin. And Rabbeinu Tam says, no. When the Gemara says, go see what people do, meaning, are you looking at what people do or are you looking at what people don't do? According to Rashi, well, people don't do it, so therefore it's not okay. According to Rabbeinu Tam, no. If I'm telling you to go see what people do, it must mean that people are doing it, meaning people are stitching their straps together. Okay, so Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam walk away from this Gemara with opposite conclusions of what the Gemara, what the halacha is.
Has there been a difference in time?
I think they're arguing about, my own opinion, is that they're arguing about what the nature of the statement is. When the Gemara says, poke chaze my amadabar, it means if I'm telling you to go out and see what the people are doing, it's easier to see a positive action than a negative action. That's what Rabbeinu Tam's saying, I think. Right? What Rabbeinu Tam is saying is, if people aren't doing it, there's nothing to see. So it must be that people are doing it. People are stitching their straps together. Amar Papa Girdume Ritzuas Ksheros. Now, let's assume we're talking about the Tefillin Shel Rosh. Straps, right? You tie in a knot, right? Strap to your head, knot in the back. We'll talk about the knot in just a moment. And then straps lay out. Now, by the way, the Gemara is going to tell us that some people have the minhag of straps going in the back, braiding the straps together, right? Various minhagim, which we're going to see in the Gemara. Right? Our minhag, of course, is to lay the straps out in the front, in front of us. How far do the straps have to go down? So we have a minhag that the right strap should be longer than the left strap, right? The right strap should go down, right? The minhag is to go down to the right to the oso hamakom, and the left strap should go down right about to the belt. Okay, that's our minhag. But how much strap do you need to hang down? So we don't have a shear yet. Okay, so Amar Papa Girdumim de Ritzuas Ksheros Girdumim. So we're going to see this term when we talk about tzitzis. Tzitzis we know have to be a certain length. Right? You ever see your kid sit this? They kind of like, you know, they're broken, they're snapped, they're right. They're just little things left over. So later on in the Masechta, in the fourth parak, we'll talk about the gedumim of tzitzis. Now, the basic idea is that as long as you started with a shear, so even though you now have less than a shear, that's okay. There's a certain understanding that, you know, out of usage, it's going to get ripped, torn, tattered, right? It's just normal. Is there such a concept by tefillin, by straps of the tefillin? There's this concept of gedumim. So the Gemara says, Rav Papa says, yes, there is. That gedume ritzuos k'sher, that if I start off with a shear of strap, which is kasher, and then it gets less than that, that's okay. Okay, gedumim. There's this concept of gedumim when it comes to tefillin. So v'lav milsi, the Gemara rejects, categorically rejects Rav Papa. So the Gemara says, because we know that the gardumim of tcheles, that tzitzis, leftovers of tzitzis, right, tattered tzitzis are fine. Again, we'll come back, we'll talk about this halacha more later on. Gardumim of azov, right, azov, I got to take my hyssop and dip it into the water and sprinkle it, and I need a certain amount of hyssop, right, a tefach, an amount enough to go into my hand and still have pieces coming out. If I don't have a full shear, meaning I started with a full shear, but now I don't have a full shear, again, kasher. Hasamu de tashmishe mitzvanenu. But those things, tzitzis and azov, are tashmishe mitzvah. That's falls under the category of tashmishe mitzvah. Those are used for mitzvahs. Avahacha de tashmishe kedusha nenu. But here we're talking about straps. Straps are tashmishe kedusha, low. So the Gemara says that there's no concept of gardumim. Meaning I need a full shear, and if I don't have a full shear, it's not going to be good enough. Right? The Gemara in Megillah tells us that when it comes to Tashmishi Mitzvahs versus Tashmishi Kedusha, there are differences in terms of how to dispose of it. I have a mitzvah. Your Lulav and Esrog. Right? Those are Tashmishi Mitzvah. So, Me'ikar Adin, after Sukkot is over, you can throw it out. In a respectful manner.
Burn it.
You don't have to, though. You can't, right? You don't have to. In other words, you could just simply dispose of it, right? Respectfully, but you could dispose of it, right? But when it comes to Tashmisha Kedusha, right, that you can't dispose of. That you have to put in Geniza. So the Gemara over here says there's another nafkamina, another practical difference in terms of Tashmisha Kedusha versus Tashmisha Mitzvah. Meaning by Tashmisha Mitzvah, there's this concept of Gardumim. Meaning even if I don't have the shear now, I started with the right shear, but now I have less than that, that would be acceptable. But when it comes to Tashmishi Kedusha, which are the straps of tefillin, no. So the Gemara says, Michal Disle Shi'ura, good. So now we understand that there's no concept of gardumim by the straps of tefillin. How much do you need? So the Kamashirayo, Amarami Barchama, Amarish Lakish, Ad Etzbat Sreda. So you need the Etzbat Sreda. So the Etzbat Sreda is our pointer. Okay, now what does that mean? So the Gemara here has two explanations of what that means. Rav Kahana Machve Kafuf and Rav Ashi Machve Pashat. So the way Rashi explains it, Rav Kahana says Kafuf, which means the distance between your finger, your pointer, and your middle as they're spread out. That is the minimum shear for the Ritzuos after the knot. Right? And according to Rav Ashi Machve Pashat, Rashi says the difference between your thumb and your pointer. Everyone agrees that's what's straight as your pointer. It's just a question of over here or over here. Okay. Rabba Katalu Pashi Vishadilahu. The Gemara now goes over different menhagim of how to let the straps lay out. And again, we're going to assume that we're talking about the Ritzuos of the Shel Rosh. Although the Gemara is not clear about that. But that'll be our assumption. So Rav Ashi Machbe Pashut. Rav Ashi would just let them out straight. Right? Okay, fine. That goes back to the definition of etzba sreda. Sorry. Rabba katalahu upash vishadilahu. So Rabba would tie it up, meaning strap it on, and let it hang. Rav Achabayakov katalahu umatlithlahu. Rav Achabayakov would braid He would braid his the straps that would hang down. Marbere deravana avid kiddi dan. And marbere deravana, how does he do it? He does it like we do it. Great expression of the Gemara, right? How do we do it? Okay, so we know how we do it. In other words, the knot in the back, and then we bring it to the front. I'm Rav Yehuda Breid, Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas, Mishmei Derav Kesher Shul Tefillin Halacha LaMoshe MiSinai. The Kesher of Tefillin is Halacha LaMoshe MiSinai. Rashi over here writes, it's an important Rashi. Kesher Shul Tefillin She Yasma Ritzus Al Rosho The Inyan Shehei Dalet Kedei Shehei Shakai Nira Alayim Shin Nira Bekamat Beis Chitzona Shakafa Aklav Kein Shin. We all know this, but Rashi over here is the source. So the shin is on the tefillin itself, right? The shin that's actually etched into the tefillin. The dalet nira bekesher. Then you go to the back of the tefillin, and that knot that you tie in the back is going to be shaped like a dalet. The yud nira beoso shel yad. And the yud is seen on the knot on the side of the tefillin, on the shel yad of the tefillin. Kemin ritzua ketana berosha kafuf ma'at kemin yad. I'm sorry, kemin yud. So that is the shin, the dalet, and the yud. Remember, this is Rashi consistent to what he said yesterday. Rashi says the tefillin shel rosh has more kedusha than the tefillin shel yad. How do I know that? Rashi says because look, right, it spells out the name Shakai, and the shel rosh has the shin and the dalet, and the shel yad only has the yud. Right, so it's two versus one. Okay, so that's the kesher shel tefillin halacha moshe misinai. The Amar Rav Nachman unevehem labar. Okay, and it needs to be demonstrated, the Shem Hashem needs to be shown to everyone. Again, Rashi, consistent to what he just said, says that not only does the shin have to be exposed, but the back dowel has to be exposed, which means, as we're about to see in just a moment, it can't be low on the neck, it's got to be high, it's got to be higher on the head, opposite the face. Gemara is about to tell us that. And according to Rashi, the yud also needs to be exposed as well. Minhag is not to do that. Minhag is to cover the shel yad. Okay, Rav Ashi Avi Yosef Kami de Marzutra Izhabche Le Ritzua de Tfilin. His Ritzua of Tfilin turned over to the side. Amale Lo Savala Marvin Neveim Labar. You can't do that. The Tfilin, the straps of the Tfilin, the black sides has to be the part that's exposed. Amale Lavadaita, and he answers very simply, I didn't know. Okay, I wasn't aware. Ra'u Kolam Me'aretz Kishem Hashem Nikrai Alech Viru Mimeka. The pasuk says that the nations of the world will see that the Shem Hashem Nikra Alecha. Now, the Gemara, the pasuk could be understood just simply as a euphemism, meaning that we demonstrate we're Mekadesh Shem Shemayim in our behavior. But the Gemara over here takes it another pshat. Tanya Rav Elazar Gadol Omer Elu Tefillin Shebarosh, meaning when they see Shem Hashem, they actually see it. The Tefillin Shel Rosh. Right, Rashi is going to have a little bit of a difficult time with this because according to Rashi, the Shem Hashem is the Shin, Dalet, and the Yud. So, okay, so a little bit difficult with Rashi, but anyway, Eilat Tefillin Shebarosh. The pasuk says Vasi Rosi. I'm sorry. So that's the Shem Hashem Nikrai Alecha. So that has to be exposed. The Tefillin Shel Yad, on the other hand, I mean, it gets to cover it. Vasi Rosi is Kapi Vreisitz Achorai. I will cover. Right, Hasirosi is Kapi. I will cover you, and you will see. Because Baruch says to Moshe, Parshas Kisisa, you'll see my back. Amar Rav Chana Bar Bizna, Amar Rav Shimon Chasida, Malamich Erolak Kadosh Baruch Hu Moshe Kesher Shel Tefillin. So Moshe didn't see Kaviyachol, to the best of our understanding of what all this means. Hak Moshe didn't see the front of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. He only saw the back, and he saw the Kesher Shel Tefillin of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. You say your Anim Zmiros. Right, the Kesher Shel Tefillin Herola Anav. Right, he saw. That's what he saw. Am Rav Yehuda Kesher Shel Tefillin Tzarich Shehela Mala. The Kesher of the Tefillin has to be higher up, not on the bottom of the neck, but higher up. Kedei she Yisrael Lamala V'lo Lamata. And the symbolism, says the Gemara, is that the Jewish people should be Lamala and not Lamata. So Tzarich Shehe Kape Panim. It has to be opposite the face. So if I were to draw a line straight through, so in other words, the face is obviously a nice range, but the Kesher Shel Tefillin should be in that area opposite the face, not lower. Kedei Sheyisrael Lifnim V'lo La'achor. And again, the Gemara speaks symbolically about how it represents how the Jewish people should be Pnim but not Achor, face not back. Amar Shmuel Bar Birdi Amar Rav Amilei Amar Rav Acharich Amar Rav Hunav Amilei Amar Rav Menashe Amar Shmuel Tefillin Me'emasai Mevarech Aleihem. Okay? We'll end today discussing the brachas of tefillin. So first of all, when do I make the bracha? Mishas hanachtan. So the Gemara says, at the time when I put them on, Ini, the Gemara says, is that true? V'hamer av yudam ha-shmo kol ha-mitzvah kol ha-mavarach alayim over la'as yasan. The Gemara says, what do you mean? What do you mean? We know we have to make brachas before I do the mitzvah. So, avai v'rav adami tavai mishas hanacha v'ad shas kshira. From the moment that I put it on, between that and the time that I actually tie it. Okay? Ad kan divrei ha-gemara, the Gemara says that is the time that you make the bracha on tefillin. Okay. Now, one bracha, two brachas, I will discuss that in just a moment. But before we discuss that, however, big issue over here is that the Gemara says that I make the bracha tefillin when I'm kosher the tefillin, when I tie the tefillin. Now, when we say tie the tefillin, what do we mean exactly? Right? So we all assume that, well, in other words, I put the tefillin on and then I tighten it. But that's tightening the tefillin. That's not what the Gemara says. The Gemara says the time that I'm kosher. Kosher actually means knotting the tefillin. Sounds like from the Gemara, you could suggest that the Gemara is saying that there's actually a requirement every day to knot the tefillin. Meaning, the whole thing, meaning just simply take straps and every day strap it through the boxes and actually knot the tefillin. Is that what the Gemara means? Bottom Tosis on the page has a lengthy discussion. So, I'll just cover the basics. Mishas Anachar V'Atshas Kshir Mikana Yemidaktik Rabbeinu Eliyahu Shitzarech Adam L'Kasher Tefillin B'Chol Yom. So Tosfos starts out with a position of Rabbeinu Eliyahu on the Balei HaTosfos, not often quoted, and he says that you have to tie your tefillin, not tighten, tie your tefillin every single day, b'chol yom. That is the opinion of Rabbeinu Eliyahu, and look, it's a simple pshat in the Gemara. The Gemara says that you are, when do I make the bracha? From the time that I place into the time that I'm kosher. And kshira usually means, doesn't mean tighten, it means to tie. I actually put the strap into the tefillin and I actually knot the tefillin every single day. Rabbeinu Tam does not go for that pshat. Rabbeinu Tam mefarsh dein tzarech u'mevi raya mi'amad da'amrina beperakam d'chulin. Right, again, I'm just going to hit the highlights of this Tosfos. One of Rabbeinu Tam's proofs that I don't tie the tefillin every day is based on a Gemara in Chulin. The Gemara over there says, tzarech adam shilom gimel dvarim ksav shchita u'mila. Certain things that every Jew should know how to do. Every Jew should know how to write and be a sofer. Every Jew should know how to shecht, right? How are you going to eat? And every Jew should know how to do milah, right? How are you going to give a bris to your son? So, v'Rav Yehuda Amar, af kesher shel tefillin u'birchas chasanim v'tzitzis. V'idach hanish chichan. So now, the Gemara over there brings the opinion of Rav Yehuda. He adds three more things to the list, of which tying tefillin, knotting tefillin, and how come the Chachamim didn't add that to the list? Because that's not common. Right? That's not common. That is the Gemara in Chulin. So Rabbeinu Tam says, after learning the Gemara in Chulin, yeah, if there is a requirement to knot your tefillin every single day, if that's the requirement, so then knotting your tefillin, right, kesher shel tefillin, is extraordinarily common, that would be required every single day. The fact that the Gemara in Chulin over there says it's not common indicates that you don't have to knot your tefillin every day. Okay, so Rabbeinu Tam says that there is no, you don't have to knot your tefillin every day, even though the Torah says ukshartem. Ukshartem was something else, al yadecha. Going on in the Tosfos, unfortunately we're just running out of time, Tosfos then says maybe we can make a distinction between the Shel Rosh versus the Shel Yad. Maybe the Shel Rosh needs to be knotted every day, but not the maybe the Shel Yad needs to be knotted every day, but not the Shel Rosh. See the remaining part of Tosfos. We all know what the minhag is. The minhag is not to knot the tefillin every single day. Okay. Amar Rav Chisda, Sach bein tefila letefila chozer u'mevarech. If I converse between putting on the Shel Yad between and the Shel Rosh, so then I have to make a new bracha. Sach in lo sach lo. The Gemara says it's only if I converse. But if I don't converse, then I don't have to make a new bracha. Okay? It sounds very clearly from this Gemara that how many brachas are we making when I put my tefillin on? One bracha. Second bracha is only if I interrupt between the Shel Yad and the Shel Rosh. That is the opinion of nearly everybody. The Rambam, the Shulchan Aruch, the Vilna Gaon, right? One bracha when you put on your two pairs of tefillin. Right? Sfarim make one bracha, as is the simple pshat in the Gemara. So the minhag of Rabbeinu Tam is to make two brachas. Okay, how does Rabbeinu Tam learn a Gemara? Maybe I'll start here from tomorrow. Let me just read a little bit more Gemara. So the bracha for the Shel Yad is lahaniach. So the Gemara says, yeah, aren't there two brachas? So Abai v'Rava Dami Tavayu, lo sach mevarech achas, sach mevarech shtayim. So the Gemara says, the second bracha is only if you talk between the Shel Yad and the Shel Rosh. But if you don't talk, so you only make one bracha. Pshut Osho Gemara, really the simple pshat of the Gemara, is like the Rambam, and like the that there's only one bracha on the when putting on the two pairs of tefillin. Tana sach min tefillah. What if you talk between putting on your two pairs of tefillin, between the Shel Yad versus the Shel Rosh? Averi biado v'chozar lav me'archei hamilchama. So the Gemara says it's such an avera that if you're going out to war, and right, and the Kohen says to everybody, right, if anyone, you know, has anything which they feel like may, you know, spiritually harm them, you know, in other words, they will not have a zchus, they won't have a merit, so they turn around. So the Gemara says, if you speak between putting on your tefillin, Shel Yad and Shel Rosh, you should consider at that point in time maybe turning around and going home, right? It's, you won't do that.
You're on your own.
Yeah, you're right, correct. Very well said. You're on your own at that point in time. Okay, tomorrow, first thing we'll do tomorrow, I'll give a quick synopsis of Rabbeinu Tam. How is Rabbeinu Tam going to learn the Gemara? And more notably, how did the Ashkenazim make two brachas on tefillin every single day when the simple pshat in the Gemara doesn't seem to be that way? It's ironic that